If you are going away,
remember to take 702 with you
on the 702 app.
Now, recently, I was very lucky. I went off to Zanzibar and I had this great time. They flew us out, Africa Stay flew us out, and we went and we landed at this brand new airport there. And we stayed at this resort. It was lovely. And we went snorkeling and I saw these lovely tropical fish, and they come right up to you. And it was absolutely amazing. And I'm very, very lucky that I went. But it did get me thinking, what about back home? I was very lucky to go, but it's a very expensive holiday. If you're going to go to Mauritius or Zanzibar or the Seychelles, it's going to cost you a lot of money. So what about a little bit of a shot left back home? What about exploring South Africa? What about eating out in our excellent restaurants and supporting the people who are here? How about going local? Well, joining us to discuss this is travel writer and blogger at IgaJourneys.com. It's Iga Motulska. Hi, Iga. Good morning and happy Boxing Day.
Yes, happy holidays to you and your listeners as well, Ray. I hope you've had a wonderful time, despite working.
That's okay. The thing about radio, it's so much fun. We don't work, really. We just have a lot of fun, so it's easy, you see.
Exactly.
So, right, now we want to have that lovely shot left around South Africa. What are some of the mistakes, though, that people make when traveling during the high season? And how do you suggest they try to avoid them? Because you can. Very often, you go onto a website, you think, that's such a nice place, but then you get there and it's not so nice.
Sure, absolutely. I think the most important thing is naturally, of course, to book ahead of time and to try and make reservations, whether it be at popular attractions or restaurants. And I think spontaneity is absolutely awesome and I highly encourage it. But I think especially if you're traveling during the high season, you know, you don't want to be caught waiting in long lines. So I do suggest also trying to book online. For example, for Table Mountain and the Red Bus and a number of other attractions, you might even be eligible for a discount. And you don't necessarily have to wait in those long queues. You can just arrive, present your ticket, and so on. And there's no point in arriving somewhere and then being disappointed and being turned away. So I would certainly say booking ahead of time.
That's clever, and, yeah.
I know that times are a little bit tight at the moment, so I know that many people are perhaps considering driving or maybe even taking a bus. But I think sometimes, especially if you're limited with time, I think it's worthwhile weighing up the odds of whether it's worth flying somewhere or taking a bus. If you're going to spend an entire day going on a bus there and back, you kind of have to ask if it's really worth it. Naturally, of course, you have to weigh that up with what your budget is. But that's something worthwhile to consider as well.
Okay.
And actually, of course, we know that, you know, many of the big popular hubs get really busy with travelers from around the country, whether it be Cape Town or Durban. So I think it's certainly worthwhile exploring second cities or smaller cities on the outskirts of those big hubs or those, you know, big coastal towns, and maybe perhaps even going a little bit into the hinterland. So I'm spending my holidays in Somerset West. It's much quieter than Cape Town at this point.
Yeah.
And it's only 40 minutes away from Cape Town, for example.
See, that's Iga, that's actually quite nice. I mean, Somerset West, if you go, also Stellenbosch just on the side, all those lovely wine destinations, those wine farms, they're lovely, aren't they?
Absolutely. And I mean, right here in the Helderberg, you've got Helderberg Nature Reserve. There are amazing hiking trails in and around the area. Strand is really close by, so wonderful beaches as well. You've got Betty's Bay and the penguins. Not a lot of people know about them here. You've got Vergelachen and a number of some of the oldest wine estates in South Africa as well. So there's always so much to do. And if you really want to go into Cape Town, it's only a 40-minute drive, for example. So it's really well worth going to some of those smaller second cities on the outskirts of those big major travel hubs.
Yeah, it really is. It's quite something. It's quite central. And then build in enough travel time. And you just said that now it's 40 minutes away, but build in that travel time.
Absolutely. And expect that naturally there might be quite a bit of congestion and traffic along the way. I know I'm overly optimistic and I think to myself, okay, I'm going to arrive at 6, I'm going to start doing this, and then I'm going to go to the next travel destination and do the next attraction. But I think it's really important to, you know, give yourself enough time so that you're not stressed, leave early, know that you might not necessarily be able to park close by, that you might have to park a little bit further and walk. So I think that just ensures that your, you know, your travels and your holidays are not too stressful. And of course, another thing, and I should heed my own advice, is not to overschedule or be too overly ambitious about seeing too much in a limited amount of time. I think it's also really essential to plan some downtime. I think there's nothing worse than coming back from your holiday feeling like you need another holiday. So I think it's really important to just take some time when you spend it out in the garden or in the on the grass or on the beach or just relaxing, taking an afternoon nap. I think a variety of exploring things and attractions, but also, you know, getting enough sleep and resting, I think is very important as well.
No, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. Just, you know, it's still a holiday, isn't it? It's a holiday.
Absolutely.
You're supposed to be enjoying yourself. You're supposed to be recharging because when you get back to the office in January, I promise you, your boss has also had a holiday, and you have those horrible bosses who come along and think, right, new year, clean slate, let's go and do this thing. So you basically have to rest while you can. I'm right?
Absolutely. And, you know, whenever I travel internationally, like you were talking about, some of those beautiful Indian Ocean islands, I'm the kind of person who wants to see and do as much as possible. So I'm literally up with the sun. I go to sleep late in the evening. I want to explore and see and immerse myself in the culture and the way of life and trying the food. But afterwards, I return and I feel like I need 2-3 days to recover.
Yeah.
So I think having that balance is really, really essential.
Yeah. Right. Now, just talk to us about travel insurance and medical aid. What should you be doing?
Yes, I never travel, especially not internationally, without doing that. Many banks have the option, of course, where you can reach out to them and tell them what your travel dates are, where you're traveling to, and they will cover you with medical aid. Of course, if you do have a hospital plan or some kind of medical plan in place as well, it's very important to let them know where you're traveling to. And just to read the T's and C's and be aware of what kind of medical cover you have when you're traveling overseas. And I think it's very important to budget for that as well, because we know that, you know, even if you do have medical aid, there are always going to be some expenses here and there. I traveled to Namibia earlier this year. I spent just over a month there.
Mm.
And, you know, we had to go through two tires because obviously there's lots of off-roading there. And you never want to think about anything negative happening when you're on your trip. But it's so important to plan your budget or have a certain budget range to work within that includes naturally all of your travel expenses. And even a few spontaneous expenses, I think it's so important to be open to suggestions from locals of what to do and what to see when you're there as well. Not everything has to be planned down to the T, but it's so important to set aside some money, a little bit of a nest egg, I guess, for the unexpected, whether it's buying new tires or medical expenses or something along those lines. And I think even just having the basics of a first aid kit is very essential as well, just to have, you know, the normal things that you would expect to have at home as well. I think that really just allays any kind of fears that you're prepared if anything were to happen.
Yeah, very good idea. Great idea. All right, let's change tack a little bit. We're going on our holiday. What about a health hydro or a wellness retreat? I call them day spas, but maybe a health hydro, a wellness retreat. Not a bad idea because sometimes you just need to recharge and be pampered.
Certainly. I did this a few years ago and I actually sent my parents to a health hydro for a week earlier this year. And I must say they came back and it was one of the greatest gifts that they had. They absolutely loved it. And there are a number around South Africa. So I know that there's the Hydro in Stellenbosch, there's Brookdale Health Hydro in KZN, and we visited the Hoogland Health Hydro, which is only about an hour's drive from Joburg and Pretoria. As I mentioned, there's a number around the country, but the premise is all about doing kind of a digital detox and unplugging from the stresses of everyday life in a beautiful natural environment. Of course, you can decide how much time you want to spend there. They would recommend a few days at least, or even up to a week. And a visit is all about, you know, spending time in and around water and using the healing properties of water. So spending time in the pool, in the sauna, in the steam room, jacuzzis and sitz baths. There's also a five-step hydro cycle that consists of exercise and massages, heating up the body, cooling it down again, and resting in between. And this hydro process improves blood circulation. It also boosts your immunity, releases stress, and relaxes the muscles. And what I love about a stay is that it generally starts, for example, with some breathing exercises or meditation and yoga in the morning. They very often also do walks or hikes. Where I stayed at Hoogland, you can see some of the region's 186 bird species. They've also got a number of antelope species and even brown hyena and jackal too. And at the top of the hiking trail, there's even a little bit of a cave. And
Can
have a look. There are some fossils in there as well. And actually, of course, food is all about being wholesome and healthy. So very seldom ever will you have any processed foods. There's generally no alcohol or sugar. And it's kind of a reboot for your taste buds, gut, and metabolism. Mm. And what's lovely is during the day, they generally have a number of aqua aerobics classes or group discussions and talks. They have art classes, dance and music therapy, a whole bunch of really wholesome things. I think it's a wonderful opportunity just to unwind after a busy year.
Yeah, no, you're quite right. It's a treat that you can give yourself. But something that's not a treat, if you go to, and I never got this, you go to a resort, say, for instance, Iga, and you have a caravan next to a caravan next to a caravan, and you are so jam-packed into that. Or you go down to a beach. Now, Plettenberg Bay is beautiful, but if you go down to Plett, the beach may be packed. We don't want crowds, do we?
No, we don't, exactly. And earlier we were speaking about the wine regions of Stellenbosch and Franschhoek and the surrounds, and they're absolutely gorgeous. And, you know, there's so much history and culture there as well. But a lot of South Africans don't know that Plettenberg Bay has its own winelands and, in fact, a bubbly route. So when I was there earlier this year, I learned that the climate and the geography is very comparable to that of New Zealand. So the region produces cooler climate wines, such as your Chardonnay, which is my favorite, and Sauvignon Blanc and Pinot Noir varietals, for example. And it's actually South Africa's smallest and youngest wine-producing region. So on average, it covers about 58 hectares. So it is quite tiny when you consider many of the others in the Western Cape. But this wine route stretches along 57 kilometers along the coastal strip, so all the way from Harkerville up to the crags, and the first grapes were actually planted in the year 2000 here. But there are 18 wine farms that you can visit. I visited Newstead Wines, and they're only 20 minutes from the center of town towards the crags area. And I must say, they've actually won quite a number of awards, which was really impressive. And obviously, it's just so lovely being out and about in that setting. They've got a tasting room, which is open on between Wednesdays and Sundays, between 11 in the morning and 4 p.m. They also do outdoor picnics in their vineyards and beautiful cheese platters that are served in wine crates. It's so lovely. And in actual fact, each March, Plettenberg Bay hosts an annual wine and bubbly festival during the school holidays. So if you're in and around that area, it's certainly worth having a look and, of course, visiting some of the other 17 wine farms in and around that area as well.
Oh, I like that. I really do like that. Let's listen to a WhatsApp voice note to see what people are saying about where they want to go.
Immersing yourself in the culture, those are the words that ring in my ears when it comes to traveling local and attending events and functions and even going to the theatre, even if it's something you don't do, do it while you're on holiday in local places, because I find that is the way to find the people who are enjoying themselves by getting cultural. Lots of love from Karen and Glen Cairn.
Thank you, Karen, Glen Cairn. Oh, for listening to us all the way down south. So, I mean, Iga, speaking about down south, and she's quite right as well, local is lekker. Now, what about distilling your own gin at an artisanal distillery in Mossel Bay? I didn't know about Plett, and now Mossel Bay as well.
Yes, certainly. And I actually just wrote a blog post about my experience on egojourneys.com. So if someone is interested in doing it, they can find more details there. But Cape Thing Blaze Distillery in the very heart of Mossel Bay offers a 1.5-hour gin masterclass. Mm. That's all you need to tell me because I'm a huge fan of GMT.
Yeah.
And so on our arrival, we're given a lovely welcome drink. And over an hour and a half, we had some amazing gin masters, Vernal and Ronnie. And, you know, they tell you about the history of gin and the various styles and how gin in the past in the Netherlands, for example, was used for medicinal purposes.
Oh.
Give me that kind of medicine, I say.
Yeah, that could work. That could work.
Yeah, but it's lovely because you get to learn about trends and how, you know, in South Africa, we've kind of had this gin renaissance in recent decades. With a very strong focus on botanical gins, but there are a number of others as well. And what's lovely is you get to choose from three different bases. Then you have these glass dropper bottles with 24 different kinds of tinctures. And they suggest that you only add between 5 to 6 of those to your base. Now they've got a citrus base, a botanical base, and a floral base. I chose a citrus one. I added some mint and lemon, orange, chili as well. So it's so much fun playing around with all the different smells and flavors. You also make your own bokeh garni. So that includes juniper berries, for example, which is the main ingredient, angelica root, and some other herbs and spices in there as well. You tie it up in fabric, you pop it into the copper pot still, and you wait for 45 minutes for it to distill. In the meantime, you actually get to go do a tour of the distillery where they make all of the ceramic bottles by hand. And then by the time we got back, we did a tasting of their three different gins. You try them each neat, then with some lemon zest and orange zest, and then with a little bit of sugar-free tonic. So it's really nice that in the meantime you get to do some tasting. Mm. And afterwards you go home with a 500ml bottle of your very own distilled gin. You get to name it as well. You put your name under that of distiller. It's so much fun. And I think it's great for, you know, families and friends, especially if it's raining out or the weather's not that great. And not even. Even on a beautiful day, it's lots of fun and makes for a beautiful gift as well.
Oh, it sounds like it. Sounds quite exciting, actually. All right, Iga, before we conclude, tell me about the West Coast, because everybody likes the garden route. But I went to Pater Noster recently, and wow, what a lovely experience.
Yes, certainly. I was actually there just the other day. Oh, and it's so beautiful. And there are so many things that you can do along the way as well. So we dropped by Darling Brewery for a beer tasting, took some beers with us as well. I love the IPA. There's, of course, Darling Olives along the way as well, where you can try a number of different extra virgin olive oils. They've even got olive chocolates and jams and pastes and rubs to take home with you, as well as some Kalamata olives as well. And their tasting is 55 rand, so really affordable too. I really recommend stopping at the West Coast National Park. We know that the garden route has Kitikama, which is very popular, but there's so much to do even outside of flower season at the West Coast National Park, especially if you're a birder. So there are hundreds of bird species in the area, and there are four bird hives. So you might even spot some flamingos, ostriches, so many other bird species. In fact, 250, and over a quarter of South Africa's endemic bird species are found here, and of course many migratory birds as well from as far away as Russia. So it's well worthwhile doing a trip along the beach and maybe even packing a picnic basket and eating that on the beach. It's such a beautiful part of the country as well.
Yeah.
Of course, there's excellent food at Langeban, at Le Petit Maison, which is at the Farmhouse Hotel. I highly recommend that. There's the Hopefield Market. You can do lots of water sports in Langeban as well. Ah, so much. I'm not sure if we perhaps maybe run out of time, but I would love to tell you more about that another time perhaps.
You know what, before you do go, because I feel a bit guilty here, we've been outlining everything along the coast and the west coast and the east coast and the southern Cape, etc. Before you go, Limpopo, Limpopo province, the Matataba conservation camps in Limpopo. There's a good example. I mean, what can you tell us about those?
Yes, brilliant. And you know, many people head out to the Kruger, which is splendid and beautiful for game viewing. But you can equally do lots of game viewing in KwaZulu-Natal, even the Eastern Cape and Limpopo. And many of those regions are a malaria-free area, so it's certainly worthwhile going there as well. And Matataba Conservation Camps are situated within Marakele National Park. Of course, it's got ties to Nelson Mandela. He, you know, spoke with the private sector to help establish it and recognize how important it is for us to conserve nature for future generations. And so it's located just on the outskirts of a 2.5 billion year old massif, that's the Waterberg Massif.
Yeah.
And here, of course, the bushveld gives way to the Kalahari Sand. You've got a beautiful backdrop of sedimentary cliffs and buttresses and bulwarks. And, you know, many places around South Africa are now turning towards this ecotourism model, which I really appreciate. And essentially, it offers guests the opportunity to get involved in hands-on conservation activities during their stay.
Sure.
So Matataba is home to a critically important medium-sized population of white and black rhinos. They offer interactive three-day rhino conservation experiences. But besides that, you can get involved in tracking and monitoring and compiling ID kits of key species, you know, at Matataba and Marakele National Park. Of course, that helps with the management of the ecosystem. You can also help set up camera traps. You can monitor the fence line during a snare patrol check. There's also a tree planting and rehabilitation project to rehabilitate the land because, of course, it used to be a breeding ground for cattle and farmland. So I think it's well worthwhile, you know, going and doing a safari in Limpopo and getting involved in conservation activities. And I think it's a worthwhile experience for children as well, especially children who love nature or maybe want to become, guides, I guess, and rangers. And such a great way to reconnect with Mother Nature.
Oh, I love it. I love it. A travel writer and blogger at Iga Journeys, Iga Motilska, thank you so much. In fact, I've been watching Anthony Tejeda. He's doing our sport this morning and he's smiling and he got this dreamy look on his face. And I thought, Iga, he's listening to you. He certainly is. Iga, thank you so much. Have a lovely 2023.
Thank you so much. Anthony and all your listeners, I hope it's peaceful and I hope it's filled with lots of travels around South Africa. We know how important it is to our economy and how wonderful it is to explore our very own backyard.
Ah, thank you. Thank you so much. Iga Motilska. Go to igajourneys.com. And then, Anthony, I was kind of thinking to myself, you know what? We actually need a song. We actually need this song because it sort of ties in so nicely to Africa and South Africa.